Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. Giving glory to God this morning for his goodness to us. Truly, it's good to be in the house of God. So good to see another day, to know that it's because of the Lord that we're here. And so we just thank God for each one that's here. We brought the Lord with us. We didn't have to come here to meet him. He came, he was already with us. And he's joining with us here today. We thank God for all that he has done and all that he has promised to do in his precious, precious word. And realizing it's a privilege to come together with the people of God and the church of God. So at this time, we will honor him in prayer, asking him to have full control in everything that is said and done, asking his spirit, if needs be, to walk the aisles, visiting hearts and minds, even as the service goes forth, because we know that the Spirit of God is able to convince those who oppose themselves, those who do not know the Lord and the pardon of their sins. And the Spirit of God is able to strengthen us who do know him, to hold on, to be true, to stand steadfast in his word. And so we'll look to the Lord in prayer at this time. We thank the Lord that Pastor Jenkins is here. We thank God for that. And we're thankful for the healing that God is performing on her body. And we just continue to lift her up in prayer as well. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for all of your many benefits. We thank you, dear God, for your love, dear Father, for us, Lord. Lord, you loved us, Lord, when we didn't even love ourselves, dear Father. And Lord, you loved us so much that you gave your dear Son, Jesus, to be the propitiation for our sins. And Lord, there's no way, dear Lord, that we can repay the debt that we owe, dear God. But Lord, we can serve you. We can obey you. And we can love you, Lord. Lord, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so we've gathered this morning, Lord, to give you glory and praise. We pray, dear God, that you'd remember, Lord, all those who are already gathered here, dear Father. And we pray, Lord, that you would be in our midst, dear Father. Lord, we're so thankful, dear God, as we said, that Sister Jenkins is here this morning, dear God. And Lord, for your healing favor, Lord, that has touched her, dear God. And Lord, is continuing, Lord, to touch her. And we pray, dear God, your choice blessings upon her, dear God. Keep her in your care, dear Father. Lord, this we beg of thee, Lord. We know, dear God, that she's already lifting up your name, Lord, and giving you the glory for what you have done. Lord, she loves you, dear God. And Father, we know, dear God, that you've, Lord, even been strengthening her, dear God, not only in her body, dear Father, but, Lord, giving her an opportunity, Lord, to rest, dear God, to come apart and rest a while, dear God. And Father, Lord, while you, Lord, even minister to her spirit, dear God, and, Lord, we know, dear God, Lord, that you are building her up, dear Father, so that, Lord, when you raise her up to stand before us to proclaim your word once again, Lord, we know, dear God, that we're going to be hearing, Lord, from your spirit, dear God. We know your word is going to go forth in spirit's power, dear God. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time of refreshing, dear God, that she has had, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would just be with her and encourage her heart, dear God. We thank you, Lord, for the morning messages have never stopped, dear God. Lord, they've kept going, dear Father. Lord, because she's always, Lord, constant in your service, dear Father. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, for her faithfulness, dear God, in delivering your word, dear God, to us, dear Lord, every morning, dear Father. And, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you just continue, Lord, to be with her, dear God. Give her, Lord, the grace that she stands in need of each and every day. Lord, we thank you, dear God, that Sister Carol is here this morning, dear Father. Oh, Lord, we thank you, dear God. We give you glory, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, for the healing, dear God, that you're doing in her body. Likewise, dear Father. Lord, her great love for you, dear God, to press her way, dear God. Lord, relying, Lord, on the strength that you have given her, dear God, and asking you for more strength, dear Father. And, Lord, we just thank you, dear God, for what you have done. We thank you, Lord, for her faith in thee, dear God. Lord, how she's just surrendered herself, dear God, to thee, Lord, knowing, Lord, you're going to do what's right, dear Father, what's best for her. And, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for what you have already done and what we know that you are able to do. Lord, we pray, Lord, your blessings upon her, for truly, Lord, to see her out, dear God, is an encouragement to our very souls, dear God. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would just continue to bless her, be with her, lift her up, dear God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would remember Sister Regina, dear God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Sister Regina, dear God. Lord, we know, dear God, that often her ride was Sister Carol, but when Sister Carol was not able to come, Sister Regina, Lord, kept right on coming, dear God. Lord, we thank you, dear God, for that. We thank you, Lord, for her, Lord, how, Lord, she was faithful, dear God, to your service. We pray, dear God, that you would continue to be with her, bless and encourage her heart, dear God. Lord, this we beg of thee in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, dear God, Lord, for Sister Millicent, dear Father. Lord, and for the church bus, dear Father, that's able to go out and to pick up those who have a readiness, dear God, a readiness of mind to come out to the house of God. And we thank you, Lord, for the traveling mercies, Lord, that you granted them, Lord, to arrive safely. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would continue to remember Sister Millicent, Lord, in a special way, dear God. Bless her, dear Father. Be with her, dear Father, and give her the strength, dear God, that she stands in need of. Bless, keep your arms of protection around her, Lord, this we beg of thee. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd remember Sister Holmes, dear Father, who's on the phone. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would continue to bless her, dear Father. The Sister Holmes always ensures that if she's not able to be in service, that she'll get a call so that she will be able to hear the service. Lord, we thank you for this dear sister who loves your church and loves your word, dear God, and wants to serve you, dear God, with every bit of her strength. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would continue to bless her, Lord. Hold her up in the name of Jesus, dear Father. Help her to know, Lord, that she truly is an encouragement, dear God. Help her to know, Lord, that she is a light, dear Father. Lord, to everyone, dear God, that knows her, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd remember her family, dear God, and ask, Lord, your choice blessings upon them, even as they minister, Lord, to Sister Holmes, dear God. Remember her children in a very special way, dear God. Lord, this we beg of thee, dear God. Oh, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd remember Sister Lillian, dear God, who's on the phone likewise. Lord, we pray, dear God, your touch upon her body, dear God. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen her, dear God. Help her, dear Father, that she would be able, dear God, to move around, dear Father. Lord, we know, dear God, that she has a desire, Lord, to come out to the service, dear God. Lord, right now, Lord, she's just weak, dear God, in her body, dear Father. Lord, I'm a witness, dear Father. Lord, she has a weakness, dear God, and it's difficult, dear God, for her. But, Lord, we know nothing is too hard for you. And so, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would touch her, dear God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're not listening to what doctors and nurses say, dear Father. Lord, we're looking to you, Lord. What thus saith the Lord? And, Lord, we know, dear God, that there's healing in your wings. And so, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless her, dear God. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, supply all of her needs, dear God. Lord, every single one, dear God. The needs are in her body, dear God. Lord, we bless her household, dear Father. Provide, dear God, for those things that are needful for her, Lord. For, Lord, you said in your word, Lord, that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Lord, you would add everything else that we need unto us. And so, Father, we pray, dear God, that you would bless Sister Lillian, Lord. Help her, Lord, to lean heavily upon thee. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Oh, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would remember those who are on their way. Remember Sister Webb, dear Father. Lord, we thank you for her, Lord, for her diligence, Lord, and for her faithfulness, dear God, and coming to the house of God. Lord, we know, dear God, that she went through a season, dear God, of affliction, dear God, of illness. But, Lord, the Father, as soon as, Lord, you granted her the strength, Lord, dear God, Lord, she came. Lord, she came to the house of God to be in the service. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for people of God, Lord, who love you so much, dear Father, that, Lord, they don't want to be apart from you, dear God, even to miss service. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would bless Sister Webb. Remember her family in a very special way, dear God. Lord, this we beg of thee in the name of Jesus. Lord, if she's on her way, Lord, we pray that you would grant traveling mercies, dear God. Oh, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd remember Brother and Sister Belton in a special way, dear God. God. Oh, Lord, we thank you for them, dear Father. We thank you, Lord, for how you have blessed their family, dear God. Lord, you have multiplied their family, dear Father. And, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for the health and strength, Lord, that you have given to each one of them. We pray, dear God, that you would continue to pour out your blessings upon them, dear Father. Bless their children, dear God. Pray, dear God, that you would protect them, dear God. Lord, we remember the two that are going to school, dear God. Father, remember Tatum and Liam, dear God, while they're at school, dear Father. And, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless Koa, dear God, as he's growing and growing, dear God. Father, as we see this child growing physically, dear God, Father, we know, Lord, that each one of us came that way. Each one of us were that little and were newborns at one time. We're growing and growing, dear God, physically. And, Lord, at one time, those of us who are your children, Lord, were newborn babes in Christ at one time, Lord. And Father, even as we watch Koa grow week by week, dear God, Lord, you grew us in grace, dear God, and in the knowledge, dear God, of your way and your word. And we thank you, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would just continue to bless the Belton family, dear God, in the name of Jesus. Remember the Beltons in Georgia likewise, Brother DeAndre's family. Lord, you know all about them, dear Father, and you know, dear God, what's required. And Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless, Father, be with them, Lord, for we're lifting them up to thee, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd remember Sister Melita and her family, dear God, Lord, who are away traveling, dear God. Father, we miss her, Lord, and we pray, dear God, that you would be with them, dear God, as they're away, dear Father, visiting family, dear God, in Georgia. Oh, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would keep them safe. We pray that you would bless them in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for giving them traveling mercies to get there. And, Lord, we're praying, dear God, that you will bring them back safely, Lord. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would just continue to bless. Remember their family members down there. We recall the request that Sister Melita made on Wednesday night for Joby's brother Lovett, dear Father. Lord, we've been lifting him up in prayer. Lord, we know, Lord, that he has a condition in his body, dear God. But, Lord, again, there's nothing too hard for you. And, Lord, we know, Lord, that you, in your mercy, dear God, you're able, dear Father, to grant healing, Lord. For you make the rain to fall on the evil and the good, and you cause the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. And so, Father, we pray, dear God, in your mercy that you would, Lord, visit with him, dear God. Lord, not only in his body, but also in his soul, dear God. Lord, just we pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you remember Brother Byron and his companion Judy, Lord, as they're traveling. They're away also, dear Father. Oh, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would be with them. Grant them traveling mercies, dear God. Bless them, Lord. Keep them safe. Allow them, Lord, to get some rest, dear Father. Lord, just we beg of you. Lord, we ask, Lord, your comfort upon Judy, dear God, for we know that she lost a sister, dear God. Father, we know, dear Father, that you're able, Lord, to comfort. We know, Lord, that you're able, dear God, to give her peace of mind and give her strength. And so, Lord, we're praying, dear God, that you would bless Brother Byron and Judy, dear Father. Bless them together, dear God. This we beg of thee in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that we had an opportunity to hear their son, Jacob, Lord, on Wednesday night, dear God. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers on his behalf, dear God, and while he's out in the Navy, dear God, and he's in deployment, dear Father. But, Lord, he was back visiting for a little while, and, Lord, it just made our hearts glad to hear his voice, dear God. Lord, we continue, Lord, to lift him up to thee in prayer, dear God, knowing, dear Father, that you're able, dear God, to keep him, Lord, and to bless him. Lord, even as you blessed and kept Brother and Sister Scott's son, Tyrone. Oh, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd remember Tyrone likewise, dear God. Lord, this we beg of thee in the name of Jesus. Remember Brother Byron's daughter, Madeline, Lord. We understand that she will also be traveling or has traveled, dear God. So, Lord, we beg of thee traveling mercies on her behalf, dear God. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to her heart likewise, dear God. Lord, this we ask in the name of your dear son, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would just continue to bless, continue to have your way, dear God, in everything that is said and done. Oh, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd remember Sister Smith, dear God. Lord, we thank you, dear God, for her. Pray, dear God, that you would lead, guide, and direct her, dear God. Lord, give her the wisdom, dear God, that comes from above, dear Father, in all things. Lord, this we beg of thee. Remember her family members, Lord, that she makes requests for, dear God. We pray, Lord, that you would bless them, be with them, dear God. Speak to their hearts, Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would remember Sister Francine, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for what you have done for her, dear Father. Lord, we thank you, dear God, for your all-seeing eye, dear God. Lord, for being able, Lord, to see into our bodies, dear God. You can see, Lord, even before the doctors can see, dear God. And so, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for what you have done for Sister Francine, dear God. And we pray, Lord, you continue to bless her, Lord. Raise her up, dear Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know, dear God, that you're able, Lord, to alleviate this pain, dear God, Lord, that she has been feeling, dear God. And so, Lord, we ask, Lord, a special interest in her healing. This we beg of thee. In the name of Jesus. Lord, remember Brother Allen by our side, Lord, this we ask of thee. Lord, remember Brother Jackson, dear Father. Lord, as he stands with me, dear God. Lord, thank you, dear God, for this dear brother. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless and anoint him in the name of Jesus, dear God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the way that you use him, dear God. And it's always to your glory because he's always lifting up your name, dear God, and giving you, Lord, the glory in his life. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, your anointing and strength, dear God, on Brother Levester this day, dear God. Pray, Lord, that you would be with him, dear Father. Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, that his daughter Latina is here today, dear God. Father, we pray, dear God, that you would bless. Lord, we know, dear God, that our dear brother has talked with her, dear God, and shared with her, Lord, about what you have done in his life, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless Latina. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for her being here today, dear God. Pray, Lord, that something that is said or done, dear Father, Lord, would set a spark, dear God, in her heart, dear Father. Lord, that she would seek you, dear God, Lord, for the needs in her life, dear God. Lord, this we beg of thee in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd remember Brother Reggie in a special way and remember his companion, Miss Nancy, dear God. Oh, Lord, we pray, dear God, a touch on her body, dear Father. Lord, you know all about her, dear God. Brother Reggie said that she has a long way to go, but the Lord's going to bring her. And so, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for his faith, dear God. And Lord, our faith has come to thee, dear God, on her behalf. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would remember her in her body, in her soul, in her mind, and in her spirit, dear God. Lord, we pray that you would remember their son, dear God, and remember their grandchildren in a very special way, Lord. This we beg of thee. Oh, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would remember Sister India, dear God, and Infinity. We pray, dear God, that they're on their way, dear Father. Lord, that you would give them traveling mercies, dear God, to come to the house of God. And we thank you, dear God, for what you're doing for Sister India, dear Father. Lord, how you're taking care of her, dear God. And we pray, dear God, Lord, that you would supply all of her needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord, we pray, dear God, Father, remember Sister Kiba, dear God. We're praying, Lord, to see her today, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would speak to her heart. Lord, draw her out, dear God. Lord, this we beg of thee. Remember Brother Joseph, dear Father. Lord, we're praying, dear God, that you would draw him out, dear God, to be in the services this day, dear God. Father, we pray, dear God, that you would, Lord, just bless, Lord, remember, just have your way, dear God. Remember Sister Sandy, dear God. Remember her children, her sons, dear God, her grandchildren, dear Father. Lord, this we beg of thee in the name of Jesus. Remember Sister Saunders in Florida, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless her, dear God. Keep her in your care. Give her your strength, dear Father. Remember her family members, dear God. Remember Sister Teresa, Sister Amy, dear God. Remember Sister Saunders' other family members, dear God. Remember Sister Ferris Day, Lord, in Massachusetts, dear Father. Oh, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless her. Be with her, Lord. Strengthen her in your word, dear God. Lord, this we ask of thee in the name of Jesus. We thank you for her, dear God, even for the job, Lord, that you allowed her to have. And Father, we pray, dear God, that you would just be with her, dear Father. Help her to know, Lord, that we're lifting her up in prayer, dear God. Remember Sister Malvini in New York, dear God. Father, we're lifting her up likewise, dear Father. We're thankful, dear God, that she desires, Lord, your word, dear God. Lord, how, Lord, she desires, Lord, the Sunday school books and the devotional study books, dear God. Father, we pray, dear God, that you would bless and keep her encouraged, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Keep her safe, dear God. Lord, this we beg of thee. Oh, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would just continue, Lord, to have your way in us, dear Father. Help us, dear God. Remember Brother Levester's brother, James, in California, dear God. Father, we're thankful, dear God, that you allowed Brother Levester to travel, dear God, to see him, dear Father. Lord, to help him, Lord, with the business, Lord, that was at hand that had to be taken care of. Lord, you gave Brother Levester traveling mercies, dear God, and gave him an opportunity, dear God, to be with this Brother James, dear God. And then you allowed him, Lord, to visit, to stop off in Georgia, Lord, to visit his brother Walter, dear God. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord, for that. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless those two brothers, dear God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Give them what they need, Lord, in their soul, in their mind, dear God, and in their bodies. Lord, this we ask in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would just anoint this service, dear Father. Have your way, dear God. Help us, dear Father, to be, Lord, to your honor and glory. Lord, remember, Lord, Sister Laurencine and Brother Maurice downstairs, dear God, as they're feeding the children, dear Father. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would be with them, and we thank you, Lord, Father, for the gift that you have given to them of being able, Lord, to deal with our children, dear God, of knowing how to talk with them, dear God, and even to draw the children out, dear Father, that they might know what's on their mind, dear Father. For we know that our young people, there are many thoughts that are going through their minds, dear God. We pray, Lord, that Sister Laurencine and Brother Maurice, Lord, would be able, Lord, to steer their minds, dear God, more toward thee, dear God, than toward the world. So we thank you, dear God, for these two, this brother and this sister, dear God, who you're using, dear God, so richly, dear God, in the vineyard. Have your way, dear God. And truly, Lord, we're going to give you all the glory. All the power is already in your hands, dear God. We pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, anoint us with that power. And truly, Lord, we give you glory and praise as we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Morning. Shall we turn in our worship to the Lord to page 43? 43 in the worship of the Lord.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below.
Our responsive reading is found in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 21. First John chapter 4, verse 7 through 21. Okay, are we all there? 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 21. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God. I'm sorry, that's the first word. Okay. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God.
He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love.
In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live thus through him.
Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another.
No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us.
Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit.
And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world.
Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God.
And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him.
Here is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love.
We love him because he first loved us.
If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen?
Together, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. Bless the Lord. I'm here today to take the prayer request. God love us, our prayers, and each day we need him, so each day, sometimes twice a day, sometimes more than twice a day, we ought to be able to make a prayer request unto God, because God's love to answer our prayers. So make your request. Okay.
Remember Brother Robert Williams' daughter in a car accident. Someone hit the car and the airbag situated. Again, a neck brace. So remember her in prayer. Her boyfriend was in the car also. Remember them much of their body and remember his entire family.
Yes.
All of his children and his in-laws as well.
Brother Robert Williams and his family. Anyone else? Anyone else?
Yes. Yes, it's all.
Yes, we thank the Lord for remembering me as well.
Amen.
Thank you for his kindness and mercy.
Amen. Hey, let me do me better. I got some. Remember me?
Continue to remember everyone on this prayer list, the sick list. Remember all those who do not know the Lord Jesus in the pardon for their sins. Remember our children. Sister Lawrencine and Brother Maurice working downstairs with the kids. And any visitors that we should have, they would be more than welcome on this beautiful day that the Lord has given us. Didn't think of a better way to see people when I was coming to the church this morning. You know, I was cutting grass and all kind of things going on. But God's great love and patience for all is marvelous. He still loves us. That's what you call unconditional love. You know, so remember any visitors that we should have, and also the officer on the parking lot. The holiday is tomorrow. Hope all will enjoy it. Will enjoy it, and remember our neighbors around the church parking lot, and our neighbors all over that. They just don't know. But hopefully one day their eyes will be open and their heart's door to receive what thus says the Lord, that those may be saved and not lost. Remember all of our family members and our children. That being said, let us bow our heads and look to the Lord. Father God, we truly thank you for this opportunity that you have given us this day. Lord, tomorrow is not promised to any of us or tonight when we leave here. So we want to thank you for the opportunity that you have given us. We ask that your ministering spirit have its way in this service today, dear Heavenly Father, for conviction, for saving of souls, and any visitors that we may have. And ask that you remember Mr. Jamie out there in the parking lot and be with him, dear Heavenly Father, and all of our police officers and fire department and those who need 24/7 care, dear Heavenly Father, can't take care of themselves. Group homes, dear Heavenly Father, and nursing facilities and loved ones taking care of such people on their own and in their home. And we have Sister Vivian Holmes, the Heavenly Father, 97 years old, and what a wonderful family she has, that everyone is appointed a time and a duty, the Heavenly Father, to go by and do something for her and take care of her in her older age. And we see that, and we appreciate that, dear Heavenly Father. She's all, if she can't come, she's on the phone. She's in our presence, even as that. So ask that you remember her prayer request and remember each and every one of her families, dear Heavenly Father. And I ask that you remember Sister Beverly Carr's prayer request. As you remember her and her upcoming appointments, and remember her brother Frank, who's down in his back, and Lord, remember her, how she desires to have it, him saved, dear God, and one of his family members, dear Heavenly Father. I ask that you remember him and allow your spirit to continue to work with them. And I ask that you remember her sister, Sister Regina, remember her and her prayer requests, her family members, dear Heavenly Father, and her complex where she dwells in. Remember the people there and continue to bless her. It's good to see her in Sunday school class here today. I ask that you remember, dear Heavenly Father, all of our children here, Matthew and London and Haley and Grant and Olivia. Remember them, dear God. And I ask that you remember been spoken. The other children that usually here are not here yet. But you remember Sister Renee's prayer request with the blowers going on. I couldn't, Lord, hear all of them, but she mentioned Sister Melita in Georgia, getting a prayer request for some of her people down there. And we ask that not only that you remember her and remember, or Joby, and remember they're coming back, dear Heavenly Father, and not only them, but all that will be traveling back to get back home and do the jobs and things that they have and just to rest, dear God. And ask that you remember all those and flying and driving over the highways, and remember the Heavenly Father, Brother Byron and his companion as they are getting some rest, and ask that you continue to remember Judy and remember Brother Byron's his sister-in-law. Lord, they have lost their loved ones. So you allow us time, dear Heavenly Father, for grief. You allow us time, dear Heavenly Father, for memories. And also you understand our inner spirit, dear Heavenly Father, that we lose someone and we need time to heal, and that we can embrace on those memories of our lost loved ones. And not only them, dear Heavenly Father, but those all over the world, dear Heavenly Father. And you care us for all, and we just ask that you would continue to bless them and strengthen them when the weakness comes upon them. And these holidays have a lot of memories and thoughts that our loved ones are not here to share them with us. So we ask that you just remember those in bereavement over lost loved ones all over, dear Heavenly Father. And ask that you remember Brother Pierre Johnson Jr., dear Heavenly Father, and his loss for his father. And just remember him, dear Heavenly Father. Continue to strengthen him, dear Heavenly Father, with grace and love. And just let him know that we read it in our devotional reading, dear Heavenly Father, the love that you have, and that you are love. And so we ask that you extend a little bit more to this young brother, dear Heavenly Father, and his family members, dear God, and continue to bless him, dear God. And ask that you remember Brother Robert Williams. Lord, let him know that we love him, and we miss him. We're going to continue to lay down our bread and water for him. And also, dear God, our prayers, dear Heavenly Father, on his behalf. When one is down, we all are down, dear Heavenly Father. And so we ask that you just remember him in a special way and remember his entire family. He seems to be going through a lot, dear God, but we know that prayers will hold him up and that he may embrace on those and continue to walk with thee in the way that you would have him to walk. So remember this dear brother, his wife, Rose, and his children and his in-laws, and just remember him. Look like he's going through one thing right after another, but yet and still, well, we all go through things, but we want to hold him up. And we ask that you remember my brother Reggie. I seen him at the bottom of the steps down there. Remember his household, family members, and my sister-in-law, Nancy. Ask that you will continue to bless him and her, dear God, that she too may give her heart to thee one day and embrace on the love. It's nothing like family members have love one for another, but not like you. Lord, the kind that you can feel and put joy in your heart when you're down, dear God, and heal you when you're sick. And we ask that you just continue to remember her, that she may be able to trust in you, dear God, as she goes through these things, and her grandchildren, great-grands, and also husband that walks upright before you in her presence. Thank you, Lord, for my daughter Tina being here today. I was really surprised. I was not expecting this, but I am grateful. Thank you, Father. Thank you for my granddaughter Aminia by her side, dear God. And Lord, I ask that this be her day, dear God, and that she may be able to trust in you, dear Heavenly Father. Turn her life around and remember all of my children. Remember, I spoke to my son William, who was in Mississippi or Kentucky. I'm not quite sure, but he's close. And he said he doesn't have to be to his destination until Tuesday. So Lord, continue to guide and lead him and direct him, dear God, and give him a mindset to hear people talking about how good you are and all these things, but those are filthy rags. Lord, I want him to know you, and of course with all of my kids, not just him especially, and the pardons of his sins, so they can really experience this true joy when you, what it means to have your cup running over, and being able, dear Heavenly Father, to pray for someone when you instead of letting the enemy always holding you back. Oh, this is a wonderful salvation, dear Heavenly Father. And not only I'm praying for my kids with Tina and her whole family, and Angela, her family, and my daughter Jada and her family members. And then I want to pray for all those on the radio land who do not know thee and the pardon of their sins. This is a wonderful time to let the Spirit just have its way in you. I say to you, what are you waiting for? Time is getting short, and the days are getting short. There's signs and wonders all over, and you're going to have to go through some trials and tribulations. We all do, even me. But let the Lord have his way in your heart, that you be made right with him, that you can make grow in grace. You can get this wonderful salvation and all this in one day. It takes time, and you're not going to get it all in 1 week or 1 year. It takes time. You're going to have to go through something to hold on to this, but learn how to trust him and quit letting the enemy of your soul beat you down in some corner. Your children need prayers. Your family member needs prayers. Some people don't even know how to bless the table when they eat their food. Get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way that can save your soul. Remember all those on the radio land and your prayer requests. You have prayer requests too. And just hold on to your cell phone and let the Spirit, God knows who you are, and speak on your behalf. I ask that you remember Sister Smith's prayer request, Heavenly Father, and her children, and her concern about souls being saved, and her family members. Remember her in her walk with thee, dear God. And I ask that you remember Sister Maria and her family, dear Heavenly Father, and her companion is here, and the children, dear God, remember them as they grow, dear Heavenly Father. Let them grow in grace, dear God, and one day that they'll be able to heart to thee, dear God, and appreciate what a godly family can do, having you in Sunday school and teaching you the and praying for you and laying down their bread and water for you, dear Heavenly Father, and on their behalf, because they're going to have to face these things. The parents, when they get in school, parents can't be with you 24/7, and Satan's going to find those moments in the classrooms and things like that. So remember all of our children and the parents. Remember Sister June Webb, haven't seen her yet, and Sister prayed for her, and Brother Joseph, but we haven't seen them yet. They're usually here. Again, I pray for any visitors that we should come. And Lord, she prayed a prayer and did not pray for herself, but I want to lift Sister Blake up, dear Heavenly Father, and moments that you've given her and her meditation, dear Heavenly Father, and the things that you give her to speak to us, and that we may receive it with gladness. And bless this dear sister, dear Heavenly Father, her companion Maurice, and her sister, Sister Lillian. Remember her sister. Bless all of us, dear Heavenly Father, and we can hope I didn't forget anyone. And if I did, I ask that your ministering spirit just have its way. Bless them, dear Heavenly Father, that you know all. And not only us here, but our brothers and sisters all over. Continue to bless them. Remember Sister Melita and her prayer request, their Heavenly Father. Remember her and praying for her sister to come back. And remember all those, their Heavenly Father, that got a thought of surrendering unto you, dear Heavenly Father, that they will truly go forth with. Remember Mr. Dalton. I haven't seen him yet. Remember him. He's always usually here. And our prayers and our thoughts are with him. If he's not, remember our neighborhoods. And Father, we're going to give you the praise and the glory and the honor in our life that you are so rightfully due is my prayer. Christ's name I pray. Amen. And see what he will do. He'll never make a God your soul. When you have done your best, let Jesus do the rest. And keep your eyes upon the Lord.
Amen.
Hey, we are here. That's me.
Thank you all. Thank God. Thank the Lord for Brother Levester for the beautiful, beautiful prayer.
Amen.
Rendered. And I, before I pray for the lifting of the offering, before we come and bring in our tithes and offerings into the storehouse, we're going to thank God for what he has already done for us. We're going to thank God for what he has given us. We know he didn't have to do it, but in his mercy, he has provided us with many, many things. So we're going to thank him for what he has done for us and pray that he will receive this offering and will use it to his own glory and honor, that he'll give us wisdom for what to do, because we want to be good stewards of that God has provided. So we'll look to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for all your many, many benefits to us. We thank you, Lord, because we know, dear Father, that we wouldn't even have a lima bean to eat, Lord, if it were not for you. Lord, we thank you, dear God, because, Lord, we wouldn't have a swallow of water to drink, dear God, if not for you. And so, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for what you have already done for us, dear God. Lord, we would be stark naked, dear God, if you hadn't put threads together, dear God, to put on our backs, dear God. Lord, if we didn't have a roof over our head, dear God, Lord, we wouldn't be shielded from the sun and from the rain, dear God, and from the wind. And so we thank you, dear God, for what you have already done for us, dear Father. And so, Lord, we count it a privilege, dear Father, to be able to come in obedience of your word, dear God, and to bring in a tithe and offerings, dear God, and to give them to you, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would multiply them as only you can, dear Father. Lord, we realize, dear God, that there are men of renown in the world, dear God, with great names who have much wealth, dear God, and yet they're poor. Lord, they're naked. Lord, they're weak, they're blind, dear God, because they don't have you. And so, Lord, we count ourselves rich today, dear God, for knowing you, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless us, Lord. Father, even, Lord, as we bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse, dear God, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would give us wisdom, dear God, for their use, dear Father. Lord, that, I guess we said, Lord, that we might be good stewards, dear Father. Lord, that other souls might be blessed, dear God. For we realize, dear God, Lord, that it is your will, dear God, that others be brought to you, dear Father. And so, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would receive these offerings. Remember each gift. Remember each giver. We pray, Lord, that you would use both these offerings, dear God, and us, dear Father. Even our bodies, Lord, as we present them a living sacrifice unto thee, dear God. And, Lord, you said it's our reasonable service. So, Lord, even as we bring in our tithes and offerings, Lord, we realize that it's just our reasonable service, dear God. Lord, we know, dear God, that you will recompense. You will give us a reward, dear God, and it will be an everlasting reward. And so, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for what you've already done. We know you're able to do, dear God. Bless, have your way, dear Lord, and truly, Lord, we'll give you glory and praise. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about him growing of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He got me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He loves me to victory, beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing. How he made the lame to walk again, and all the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He got me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about a mansion he has for me in glory. And I heard about the crucible beyond the crystal sea. About the angels sing, and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He got me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me there, I knew him, and all my love is to him. He brought me to victory, he needs the cleansing
blood. Amen. Praise our God.
We're going to stand and have a word of prayer for our speaker, Sister Patricia Blake. Lift her up in prayer and Lord would give her the gift to us, the Spirit has dealt with her. Dear Heavenly Father, we come once more, dear Heavenly Father, lifting our dear speaker up today, Sister Patricia Blake. Ask, dear Heavenly Father, that you would open up our heart's door so that what you have given her to give to us, that we may receive it with gladness, that all of our meditation, when we leave here today, we will say amen and dwell on your joyous word, dear God. Ask your blessings upon her and Spirit, guide and leader. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Bless the Lord. Praise our God. Thank God for his goodness. Good afternoon. Thank the Lord for all that he has done. We realize that this day is already half over. From midnight, when it started, to now, which is it's a minute or two after 12 noon, and so 12 of the 24 hours are gone, and we'll never get those back. So we know why the Word of God says we must redeem the time, because it does go very, very quickly. Thank God for each of you that are here today, and thank God for healing power on Sister Jenkins. Amen, amen. So glad that we serve a God who can do all things. And he is not limited by whatever our infirmities might be. He just does what he does according to his will. And in our estimation, by our time clock, it might be fast or it might be slow. But God's time is God's time. Amen. So we just thank him for seeing different ones. We know we call and we're lifting up prayers for Sister Webb, and she's here. And we were lifting up prayers for Sister Carol, and she's here. We were lifting up prayers for Sister Jenkins, and she's here. We remember Sister Maria sitting on that front bench and being anointed for prayer, and now she and Koa are here. We thank God for how he touches and how he blesses. Amen. And we hope, we are praying that soon and very soon we'll be able to say that about Sister Fran as well. And we'll continue to lift her up in prayer. Our responsive reading was found in 1 John chapter 4. And we read verses 7 through 21. And as we were reading, you may have noted that the word love or loveth was spoken many times, talking about our God. We know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Even as Brother Jackson was praying and he talked about the love, God's love, and how God loves us. And so our text from that reading is going to come from verse 12 of that 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, which reads, "No man hath seen God at any time." And we understand that that is so. We're told there were those who were alive when Jesus was here, and they saw Jesus. But no man has seen God at any time. There's another place where we're told no man can see God and live, not in this life. But we know hereafter, we know there's coming a day that we shall see him face to face. But that verse 12 says, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And so the thought that we have today is kind of a simple thought. The thought that we want to consider is the love of God in us. The love of God in us. And we were talking about God's love and how in John 3:16, we know that God so loved the world, God proved his love because he gave his only begotten son. As John 3:16 reads, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In 1 John 3:16, we're told, hereby perceive we the love of God. And in this case, we're talking about Jesus, because we understand that God the Father and Jesus are one. We were talking about that even in our Sunday school lesson. But that verse 16 in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And when we say lay down our lives for the brethren, that means we're going to walk uprightly. That means we're going to live according to God's statute. We're going to live according to the word of God. We lay down our lives in that we're not seeking our own life, but we're seeking our life within Christ Jesus. So God's love is a sacrificial, unselfish, unconditional love. It's not like what the world calls love. People run, oh, I love you. I love it. They've got websites where people are searching for other people, looking for love. There used to be where the countries are looking for love in all the wrong places. And they are looking for love in all the wrong places. Because if they really want to find true love, they'll come to the Lord. They'll come seeking the Lord instead of looking for it everywhere out in the world. They think that they'll find it by getting a high-powered job and making a lot of money, or they think they'll find it by getting a big house or by getting somebody, marrying or finding somebody who's beautiful that they can walk, put on their arm and show off. But that's not love. Lust is not love. We're talking about God's love, which is sacrificial and unselfish. Because as Jesus hung on the cross, God the Father had to forsake him in that moment of time, because his blood had to be shed to atone for our sins. That's God's love. When we think of God's love in us, we think first God's love came for us. So first came God's love for us, and then when we surrendered our all to him, then God's love is in us. But his love cannot dwell in us until we surrender and yield and accept his love for us. It's similar to what Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well. So let us turn to John, St. John, chapter 4. Verses 13 and 14. Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. He had come to drink, and we know at that time the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. But Jesus came, and we'll begin at verse 11. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Oh, I better back up another verse. Let's go back to verse 10 so we get the connection. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So Jesus was speaking of himself. He's telling you, if you knew, really knew who I am, you would have asked of me, and I would have given you living water. 11, the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So you see, once she drank of that living water, then that water would be a spring in her, welling up, springing up into everlasting life. So once she had received that living water, then she could go forth and show others the way to Christ. That living water would flow from her. So it is when God's love is in us, then his love can flow from us to go out to make the way attractive to others, to go out to draw others, to show our love to others, so that we're not that same old person that we used to be before the love of God was put in us. And the only way that that love of God can be put in us is if we give up the sin business. We have to surrender to God and quit sin. So you see, once we take it in, then it will flow out. The same with the living water. We take it in and then it will flow out of us. Same way with God's love. Once we're saved, and we take God at his word and we surrender our all to him and his love comes to live in us, then it will flow out of us toward others. Shall we turn to John chapter 7? John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. With that same thought. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So then when God's love is in us, it's going to flow out of us. If we have the love of God in us, then it's going to show. There should be some evidence of it. We shouldn't be that same old person that we used to be. We're called to love other people. I'm getting tongue-tied up here. We're called to love other people with a godly love. We're told to love our neighbors as ourselves. We're told to love our enemies and do good to those that hate us. You can't do that in man's power. You cannot do that unless you have God's power and God's love in you. We're told to bless those that curse us. It says, bless those that curse you and pray for those who mistreat you, those who despitefully use you. That's in Luke chapter 6. Verses 27 to 28. There are some people who would say, well, yeah, that's impossible. You can't do that. With man's nature, it is impossible. But Jesus said, but with God, all things are possible. So he can change that old nature. When his love is in you, you are no longer the same. You're not the same person. Others who have known you before will notice. Well, you're not the same. or a situation may come up which would have been a trigger for you, would have pushed your button, you would have gone off. And others who know you would have gone off. And they look at you waiting for you to go off, and you don't do it. You say, well, God's going to take care of it. I'm not worried. No, I'm not upset. The Lord said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. And I trust God. And his love is dwelling in me. And so that's evidence that that God's love is in you. Even before his crucifixion, Jesus gave his disciples a command that they love one another. And that kind of love, it's not a brotherly affection. It's not an emotional love, but rather it's a love that seeks the best for the object of that love. As a parent, when your child disobeys, and you've told the child before, and you've told them so they have a knowledge of what they should do, and you've even warned them several times about this particular thing, and they go ahead and in rebellion they do it anyway. As a parent, you discipline them. You correct them. You spank them. At least that's the way it used to be when I was growing up. You spank them. That's love. That is love, because that parent is seeking the best for their child. They don't want their child to grow up like a wild weed. And we see some running the streets. We see them stealing Kias. We see them doing all manner of things. We see them shooting people. We see them going out to Easton and 13-year-olds shooting 15-year-olds and everybody, people running and scattering and so on. So we see that that has not happened in some cases. We see that there are some parents that have not sought the best for their children, because if they sought the best for their children, then they would do what's required. So love is not based on necessarily what the object wants. It's based on the one who loves them and what they're going to do, because they know what's best. In the same way that God can look down the corridors of time and he sees, or the corridors of our life, and he sees and knows what we have need of. He knows what we're going to encounter. The same way that a parent has been here longer than their little child, they see danger. They know what might be a hazard for their child. They know those things that would be dangerous. And so they will discipline their child. And they'll talk to them and warn them, but if the child doesn't take heed, then the parent will do something stronger. Our God is the same way, because he loves us. And so if the love of God is in us, not only does he love us, but he expects for us to manifest his love to those who are without. So we see if the love of God is in us, then it's not based on a feeling or do I feel close to them, but it's an act of will. I love you, and so I'm going to tell you the truth. We even know that there was one place where Jesus said, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? No, the truth. When the truth is told, the person who's receiving that truth on their behalf might be something that they're doing in their life. There might be someplace that they're coming. If they say they belong to the Lord, maybe someplace they're coming up a little short. But if we love one another as the people of God, then we want everyone to make it. And if we see our brother or sister doing something that's out of the will of God, or we see someplace that they're weak, or someplace where Satan might try to get advantage, we will go, we will tell them. Not because we hate them, but because we love them. So God's love in us is a determined act of will. We're going to put the welfare of others above our own. And there may be times when they may get angry at you. In the same way that your children, you spank them, they may not like you. But if you've been talking to them and teaching them, in that moment they won't like you. But it won't be long. They'll come back. They'll come back and lay their head in your lap. They'll come back. They'll lay their head on your arm. They'll come back and say, can I have some juice? They'll come back. Amen. Because they know that you love them. Praise our God. But this type of love, and we have these for our family, but for those who are without, or even those who are unsaved, when they come and they may do something to us, there may be an insult or an injury that they do. But we've got to have the love of God in us. And that only comes through God's Spirit working in us. By the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to obey God's commands, including his commandment to love. When we think about it, how did God demonstrate his love? Well, Christ died for us. So when we begin to love, it changes things. There may be someone that's been difficult, maybe someone on your job who's been an irritant. Maybe someone who's harassed you. Maybe someone who, there's some people who just like to pick with you. They just like to pick. If you come in, you're smiling, you're having a good day, they can't stand it, and so they'll try to stir up something. But when the love of God is in us, and we manifest that, our attitude toward that person will change. And in turn, we do it long enough, their attitude toward us will change. So, and we don't have to ask God to rain fire and brimstone down on their heads. What does the word of God say? If your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. But by so doing, you'll rain coals of fire on his head. The guilt, he will not be able to stand it. But that's the love of God in us. Praise our God. When we begin to show by our actions who's living in us, others will take note. And it can have an effect on others. Praise our God. We know that Jesus had that kind of love. There were those who were trying to kill him. There were those who questioned that he was the Son of God. And not only did they question it, well, they didn't believe it, and then tried to get others not to believe it either. And yet Jesus related to sinners. He related to tax collectors, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Romans, the Samaritans. He called fishermen to come and follow him. Women, children, even when the children came, the disciples tried to shoo them away, and he said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus didn't care about what society's view was at the time. There was the woman who came in to anoint his feet and wipe them with her hair. And the Pharisee said, well, if he knew what kind of woman this was, he wouldn't even let her touch him. But Jesus upbraided them. Jesus knew her heart. He knew the repentance in her heart. He knew the love that was in her heart and the love that was not in their hearts. And so Jesus was, and they even said that he eats with publicans and sinners. But Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And if they were not going to acknowledge that they were sinners, then they weren't going to be able to take part in what Jesus came for. And so many of them, that's why they lost out. They would not bow down. They would not admit. They said that they, in that eighth chapter of John, we have Abraham to our father. They didn't want to believe that Jesus was a son of God. And Jesus just told them, they tried to claim Abraham as their father, but Jesus told them, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, for there's no truth in him. So he was telling him, no, you've got a father all right, but it's not Abraham. And it's not God, because you're not accepting me as Christ, so you don't accept God either. But for those who would accept him, Jesus treated them out of love. And he didn't look at what their station in life was. As it is with us, we can't look at what someone's station in life is, because we know that man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. But the way that Jesus treated them out of love, it may not have always looked pleasant, because sometimes Jesus was harsh with them. Sometimes he had harsh words for those who opposed him. But he was still doing what was best for them. Because if they would receive it, it would bring them a knowledge of who he was. It would bring them a knowledge of salvation. So either they would believe and be saved, or they would turn away forever. But either way, they would benefit from what Jesus told them. Because if they ended up condemned to a devil's hell, they'd know why they were there. So when we love our enemies, we speak the truth in love to them. It's because God has placed it on our heart to do so. Because we don't want to see them lost. Amen. Praise our God. We know that Jesus, even though he had love in his heart, we said he used harsh words for some, because he could discern who was true, who was truly seeking him, and who was not. We know there were some that came and they asked him questions, and he would answer truly. There were others who tried to ensnare him in his words. And he would rebuke them. In the same way, God gives us minds to discern. There is a gift of discernment. And so that the Lord will bless us, and if we rely upon him, he'll give us discernment to discern the hearts of others when his love is in us. Because it's really God doing the discerning in us. Because when we're born again, we're born and made in his image. Now, we know that there were times when Jesus was among the crowd. He was moving among the people. Sometimes he was healing. We can think of the time when the woman who had the issue of blood ran after him and said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And when she did, Jesus felt virtue go out of him. But there were people all around him. So there were times when those people around him were hostile toward him. And there were times when Jesus would just slip away through the crowd because his time was not yet. It was not yet his time to be taken, because he knew their hearts and he needed to protect himself, because he knew there were still things that he had to do here before going to the cross. In the same way, God's love is in us, but God does not want us to put ourselves into danger, into a dangerous situation. We need to be led of the Lord, led of the Spirit of God. So his love in us will keep us, and it will keep us safe, but we don't want to tempt him. In the same way that Jesus was kept and had slipped away through hostile crowds and so on, the Lord will keep us if we fully trust in him, in his wisdom and his holiness, and pray to be led of him. So I was thinking the other day when the shooting occurred at Easton. And afterwards, I was talking to Brother Maurice, and he said, you know, I was going, he says he had a watch. His watch needed a battery. And there's that little Dakota watch company kiosk that's there inside the mall at Eastern. And we live pretty close. We live close to Eastern. And he said, you know, I was going to go over there to get a battery put in my watch. But he said, but then something just, he said, I just didn't feel to go. And he said, I'm so glad now that I didn't go. And then he said, I remember Sister Holmes and how Sister Holmes would always say if she was going to go out to the store or wherever she was going to go, she always pray, Lord, is it your will for me to go out today? Is it your will for me to go there today? And to be led of the Spirit. See, that's God's love in us because of his love in us. He will not suffer us. He will not put us in that kind of jeopardy against, you know, if it's not his will. Now, if we get hard-headed and just step out there anyway, then we stepped out of his will, and then things are subject to happen. That's why we always want to stay in the will of God with his love in us. And when his love is in us, we will naturally develop a love for others. Yes, a godly love that's seeking the best for others. So when we invite our neighbors or our loved ones to come to church, that's because we love them. We want them to hear the word of God because we know that they need God's goodness. Many of them are going through things, all kinds of things in life. Sometimes in their mind, it seems like, well, I just can't. Sometimes people say, I just can't seem to catch a break. But the Lord is able to bless you. You don't have to worry about catching a break in life when you have the Father. And he has you in his hand. Praise our God. So for those that we invite to come to church and come and experience God's love. Come and experience the love of the saints for you. Know that saints have been praying for you. Know that we've been lifting you up to the Lord, asking the Lord to be merciful unto you, knowing that God is able. What he's done for us, he can do for you. Praise our God. Thank the Lord. Praise our God. Thank you, Lord. Shall we turn to Titus, chapter 3? Titus 3, verses 1 through 8. Praise our God. Talking about the love of God in us. Praise God. Titus 3, verse 1. When the love of God is in us, it manifests itself. Now keep in mind, the love of God wasn't always in us. But a change had to come about. Verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. You know, when you look around, it seems like people are brawling all over the place. Brawls, people just break out fighting. They're on the street, they're fighting. They're in school, they're fighting. Things break out in stores, and they just start fighting. Oh, my Lord, no brawlers. When the love of God is in you, you're not brawling and rolling around, grabbing people, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice. This is a sinner's life. This is like an everyday thing for sinners. Living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's a bad laundry list, isn't it? Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts, people running after everything, desiring everything, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, things changed. Everything became new. The kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward us, when it appeared, and it didn't appear, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. According to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. See, we needed to be cleansed. We needed to be washed. We needed to be, that old, our sins, which were like scarlet, were washed white as snow by the washing of regeneration. And when that washing occurred, we became alive souls and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Notice, he shed it abundantly, not just a little bit, not just enough to get by. Amen. He didn't spare. That being justified by his grace, praise our God, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now just think about it. Went from verse 3, being foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God appeared on the scene, now, and he shed his grace on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, and we were justified by his grace. Now we've been made heirs. Praise our God. There's something coming. There's something good coming. There's something rich coming according to the hope of eternal life. Eternal life. Praise our God. So the things that happen down here in this life, but these are light afflictions. Praise our God. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. When the love of God is in us, we are careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Profitable unto us and to those who see the light of God in us. That's what the love of God in us can do. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Praise our God. Praise our God. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, we've just seen, we talked about the verse we just read, said that after the love and kindness of God appears, and we are justified through faith in Jesus Christ, then we become heirs. But if we remain in that third verse that we read as sinners, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. We know, we understand, we see all of this happening, don't we? Yes. Fornicators. Yes. Fornicators. People through the lust of their flesh. They're fornicating everywhere, and they're not ashamed. They don't blush. They shack up, and they don't care who knows it. It says idolaters. There are people who are worshiping all kinds of things. Nor adulterers, those also, everywhere. People write in the newspaper to an advice column saying they got a boyfriend and a girlfriend, or they got all three of them living in a house together. Adulterers running rampant. Says nor effeminate. We understand what that is, don't we? We understand that there are men with LGBTQ and some other, pretty soon they're going to have the whole alphabet. You could just sing the ABC song and you'd have something to cover every type of orientation or trans whatever that they have come up with. But it's against God's word. It's against God's word. So nor effeminate. And they're bold with it. And they're in your face with it. And they say, they call you haters when you take a stand on God's word. But as we said, when we have the love of God in us, that's just the love that we have for them, because we don't want to see them lost forever in their wickedness. It says, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's like verse 11. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. We're talking about that washing of regeneration. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Amen. That's what the love of God in us can do. Whereas before, look at that whole laundry list of things here. So all these things, thieves, covetous, effeminate, adulterers, abusers of themselves and mankind, extortioners, revilers, all those things, they cannot have the love of God in them. If these things be in you, God will not dwell in you. The Spirit will not dwell in an unclean temple, and the love of God will certainly not take his place in you if these things abide. Praise our God. 1 John 2, verse 4. 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 4. Talking about the love of God in us. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. No matter what people say. You say, oh, yes, I know the Lord. You say, do you know the Lord? Oh, yes, I know him. But if you don't keep his commandments, you are a liar. The word of God says so. And it's saying so right to the face. If any say, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. In him is the love of God perfected. Not God's love for him, not his love for God, but in him is the love of God perfected. That way, you don't have to think about it. If a situation comes up, you have to think about whether you're going to act right or not. When the love of God is in us, hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. So when Jesus came, he brought a light. He brought even a better way. The old commandment was in effect, but then when Jesus came, he brought a new commandment. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So with the love of God is in us, we don't have blinded eyes. We are walking in the light as he is in the light. Praise our God. And when we love our brother, we are abiding in the light. And then we won't stumble when we are abiding in the Lord and the love of God is abiding in us. But that just lets us know there's no room for hatred. There's no room for hatred and get back and I got a vendetta against him. I've had a grudge against him because he did something to me 18 years ago. And, well, yeah, I know he said he was sorry, but I don't believe he's really sorry. So that's malice. That's holding malice in a heart. And that's not being in the light. Because if the love of God is in us, then we are walking in that light. 1 John 3:14. This is how we can know within ourselves. We can know whether we are his and whether he is, whether his love is in us. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We know that we have passed from death unto life. All those works of the flesh, all that wickedness that we talked about, that said we cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but we've passed from that. We've passed from death unto life through the grace of God, by the love of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ. We pass from death unto life. We pass from darkness to light. And when we do that, we know that because we love the brethren. There are some of us in here today who, before we were saved, we might come to church, but and we would sit and we would listen. But if one of the saints would come up and say, I'm praying for you, what they mean by that? Or, well, you know, we've been lifting you up in prayer and, you know, think about your soul. I'm all right. Or you walk in, sit in the back, and then leave and say, everybody was looking at me. And most of the people didn't even know you were in the building. And they were looking at me. I don't feel comfortable going there. So when the love of God is not in us, we see enemies where there are none. And those who want our good, we see as trying to injure us. But when we pass from death unto life, we love the brethren. I want somebody to say, sister, I've been praying for you. Sister, you were on my mind. Somebody send me a text message. Just want to see how your day is going. Someone give a call, leave a voicemail. Hope you're having a good day. Or if I get a sniffle. Or maybe one day, maybe I'm here and maybe I'm just kind of quiet one day. And they come and say, are you feeling, sis? Are you feeling all right? You okay? That's love. That's not seeing having enemies jump out everywhere, but that's the love of God. And when you have the love of God in you, you recognize the love of God in somebody else when they're loving you. Praise our God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. The love of God in us was a prayer on Jesus' heart. Jesus had us on his mind before he went to the cross. We'll turn to St. John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 25. To know that Jesus was facing the cross. And yet, he had his disciples on his mind and not them only. but everyone who would believe on him by their word. So that's us. But Jesus prayed that the love of God would be in us. John chapter 17, verse 25. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So Jesus was praying that the love that God had for his son would also be in us. The love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Oh, thank God. To know that Jesus had that kind of love for us. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And our obedience to God's word and his spirit should manifest that we are a disciple of Jesus Christ. And his love in us will be manifest that way. But it will only happen if we are obedient. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Turn there with me, please. Praise our God. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Praise our God. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Let us turn back to our responsive reading back in that fourth chapter of 1 John. Praise our God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That seventh verse said, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Love is not of the devil. Love is in another place, it's called God is love. Love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And we're talking about the love of God in us. We're not talking about that old lustful, worldly, sinful love. Verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So if we are living through him, then God's love is in us. And it's not that we loved him first. He loved us. Verse 10 says, where herein is love? Just in case anyone is not understanding, I like the way the word of God breaks things down and makes it clear. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, because we understand that when we were in sin, we did not. We were the enemies of God. So herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And ought means duty bound. We have a duty to love one another, because God wants his love perfected in us. That's what that 12th verse says. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And that just lets us know that if we're going to live for him, we cannot sin. Otherwise, God will not dwell in us. But if he's not dwelling in us, that love that we're supposed to manifest will not be manifest. Oh, you might be all right for a while, but at some point, Jack's going to jump out of the box. And that love of God in us that's supposed to be there, just the exact opposite will be manifest. But God wants his love perfected in us. And you know that old saying, practice makes perfect his love. So we have to manifest that love. And there are times, especially if someone is working you hard, trying to get you to rise up, trying to get a rise out of you. You've got to practice. It is an active, effort, and just where you're just rebuking, and sometimes you're rebuking the enemy, and sometimes you've got to rebuke your own flesh. Lord, help me. Lord, help me keep my mouth shut. Lord, calm me down. Lord, I don't want to rise. Lord, I don't want to say. It's best not to say anything. And if you can't stop your face from contorting, then say, excuse me, I have to go somewhere. And you do, because you got to get out of there. You got to get out of that situation. You have to absent yourself from that situation rather than sin against God. Praise our God. So when we practice that, it's an effort. And as you say it, and then you grow in grace and the knowledge, and the Lord is perfecting you, and it becomes more, and you become stronger in that way. You become stronger to the place where sometimes when someone tries to get your goat, you can just smile. Sometimes you can just smile, bless your heart. You don't know. You don't understand. You don't understand. Yes, that's how Stephen could said when they were stoning him. They were stoning him. And he said he looked up and saw Jesus on the right hand of God in heaven and said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. So we can say, Lord, you know, when someone's just after us, Lord, I leave them to you. Because, Lord, you know about them better than I do. And, Lord, you can do more than I can do. And, Lord, when you do it, it's not sin. Because I don't want to sin against you. Praise our God. Verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him. And he in us. So again, we can know. This, our pastor Wilbur years ago said, this is a know-so salvation. And even on last week, there were several scriptures that we had that said, we know. Here again, we know. We don't have to be. We're not ignorant about God's word or God's way. Hereby, we know that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his spirit. And the power of his spirit will help us to stand and not lose our salvation. Praise our God. Verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. You say that well, Jesus, there are various religions. Oh, well, Jesus, he was a prophet, or he was a good man, but he's not the Son of God. There was a notation to that effect in our today's Sunday school lesson where I believe that the editor said that she and her husband went to some Middle Eastern country, and they asked the tour guide, do you believe that, he said, Jesus is the Son of God? I want to get it right. Someone correct. And he said, oh, yes, or Jesus is God. I want to get it right. I don't want to say it. Because there are those who just will not accept Jesus. including the Jews and who contested with him in that 8th chapter of John. And Jesus told, they said they had Abraham as their father. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Here it is. It is essential to believe in the divinity of Jesus. Many Eastern religions believe that Jesus existed. One time my husband and I visited an attraction on vacation. We were unaware that it was organized by Buddhists. My husband asked the tour guide, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? The man responded, oh, yes, we are all sons of God. I reworded the question to the man. Do you believe that Jesus is God the Son? He said, no, I do not believe that Jesus is God the Son. But the only way to get to God the Father is through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if they don't want the Son, they cannot have the Father. Amen. So whosoever, that verse 15, shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. That lets us know that if there's one who does not confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God is not going to dwell in that soul. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. In this, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. We can have boldness now and in the day of judgment. We don't have to try to hide when Jesus comes again. Because as he is, so are we in this world. That's why we've got to have the love of God in us. Praise our God. But you know, we cannot have the love of God in us and love the world. We cannot have both. They're contradictory to each other. They cannot dwell in the same place at the same time. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. We're talking about having the love of God in us. The love of God is in us. The love of the world cannot be in there at the same time. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We're talking about having the love of God in us. But if we love the world, then the love of the Father is not in us. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. We see this everywhere. Lust of the flesh. People lusting after flesh. People lust of the eyes. They're lusting after each other. They're things that they want. Oh, I saw so-and-so had such and such. I want that. You know, the lust of the eyes is a covetousness. That's a spirit of covetousness. And the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. So see, if we are all tied up in that, we're on a bad road. We're on a road to destruction, because that's going to all pass away. The lust thereof passes away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So when we have the love of God in us, amen, we can abide forever. That's that eternal life, that promise, that inheritance that the Lord has promised to us if we will walk uprightly, if we will do what he has commanded us to do. Praise our God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let us turn to Romans chapter 12. Turn with me there. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, talking about this old world and how it is the opposite, that worldliness is the opposite of godliness. Praise our God. Praise our God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Praise our God. Amen. That we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Amen. So it's not God's will that we conform to this old world. Amen. He would not have us to do that. We talk about being conformed to something. To be conformed is to get squeezed into a form that you weren't in to start with. So we don't want the world to squeeze us into the mold of the world. But we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we don't allow ourselves to be pressed into following corrupt customs, ungodly practices, ungodly beliefs, evil plans of men for this world, of this world. We resist the pattern of this world. We resist, we want to be conformable to God's will and to God's way, not to these things that are in the world. It's just like, I've read somewhere, it's like, just like a boat in the water. You have a rowboat. The boat is in the water, but it's not of the water. So even so, as a child of God, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen. As a follower of Christ, we pattern our life after him and not according to the course of this world, which the Word of God calls, that says is patrolled by the prince of the power of the air. We know that the devil is working in the children of disobedience. And he's called the God, little g, God, the God of this world. But we don't obey or serve the God of this world. We're not going to be conformed when the love of God is in us. We're not going to be conformed to this world. But we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, our hearts and minds are changed from what they used to be in that old life to where God wants us to be. Praise our God. So by being obedient to the Lord, by living for him, we can assure ourselves that the love of God will remain in us, that God will abide in us. Amen. Even that first verse of that chapter. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. When you think about what God did for us, what Jesus gave up for us, it's only reasonable that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. We understand that back in the Old Testament, under the law, they made sacrifices. They would sacrifice animals, bulls or goats. Turtle doves, whatever it might be. It might be a ram, you know, sheep. They would make a sacrifice. But that was a dead sacrifice because they had to kill the animal and then they had to burn it to offer up, make an offering to God. But this scripture says that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. Holy. Clean. Not sinful, but holy. Acceptable unto God. And the only way that we can be acceptable unto God is to be holy. And in being a living sacrifice, that means we are consecrated to God. We are given to God. Everything we are, everything that we have, our whole being is given to God. And we present ourselves. We're not dragged kicking and screaming because God's not going to force anyone to serve him. But his arms are open wide to receive whomsoever will. Whomsoever will, let them come and take of the water of life freely. Praise our God. Amen. So those things, those lusts of the flesh and lusts of the eyes, the pride of life and all these things, those have no part when we are a living sacrifice under the Lord. Because even under the law, when they would sacrifice animals, they didn't just take any old animal out of the flock. They didn't take the one, you know, one that was lame, and we didn't take a lamb that was lame in one leg. They didn't take something that had spots on them, or a goat that, you know, some of the hair was missing and it looked like it had the mange. No, it was perfect. And in the same way, we have to present ourselves as perfect before God. That's why all the sin and all the self and all the world has to be cleansed, has to be taken out in order for us to be acceptable unto God. Praise our God. Thank the Lord. The part about the renewing of your mind. I was meditating and I'd been praying about a matter, and I had my mind renewed here recently in that. Some of you may notice, most of you know, that at times, particularly during the week, there are homeless people who come up onto the grounds of the church, and they're lying on the ground. Sometimes they're out here in the courtyard. Sometimes they're on the steps back here, back in the pastor's study. Sometimes they're just on the blacktop out there next to one of those concrete slabs. And they leave litter, and they leave trash, which we go out and clean up. And at one time, before a food pantry service, they'd left it like a bag of waste, human waste back there that ended up getting splattered out, so we had to go out and clean that up. Sometimes they hang quilts. You know, some of the quilts are, and they're maybe a little ragged and so on up on the wrought iron that's right outside there. And I thought that, and as saints, we kind of talked about it a little bit, and in my mind, I had mentioned to Brother Morrison, maybe we need to, you know, like cage in that area so they can't, you know, get some, put there with a gate at the bottom, and so that they, you know, it would maybe stop some of the waste from, and then we wouldn't have to clean up as much, and they couldn't get in there, and then and maybe put another one down, right down here at the back door, fencing and gate and so on. And, you know, the Lord always works. The Lord always does what is right. And he waits on us until we get there. Exactly. And there was one Tuesday that we came over for prayer service. And there was a man and a woman. And they weren't back on the steps, and they weren't right back here under the little awning for the back door. They were just sitting on the ground out on the blacktop, like in one of the parking spaces, just sitting. They had a blank, one of them had a blanket and so on. And the Lord, spoke to my heart. This is the renewing of my mind. And the Lord started persuading my heart. And maybe he's persuading some of us who have been talking about it. I think we're kind of leaning this way also. We think about how God has truly blessed us. And they don't have a roof over their head, because if they did, they'd be under it. They would not be sleeping outside. They would not have go out and lay a pallet down on the ground outside. And the fact that, and the Lord just brought this to me, I believe that Tuesday, that, you know, they're coming here. Apparently they think that there's something better here. And the Lord brought to me, they're not lying down on the ground outside of a Family Dollar. They're not lying on the ground down by the post office. They're not lying, but there's something that's drawing them. And the Lord was saying, you know, I draw whomsoever I will, in whatsoever way I will. City of Red, amen. I said, there's something about just even just being near the building that is helping these people. And then from time to time, you know, when they're here, they get something, a little, some care package of something to eat or a bottle of water to drink or just something. And so I said, Lord, thank you, Lord, for renewing my mind, because, Lord, you've said that you would draw. And the church of God should be a refuge for the soul. Let us look at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Praise our God. When the Lord says to do it, then we do it. And I had to say, you know, Lord, forgive me for forgetting, Lord, how you blessed me. And there, but for your grace and mercy, I would have a pallet out on the ground. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. We want them to come. And right now they've made it as far as the ground, but that's closer than them being somewhere else. And we will show them friendliness, if the opportunity affords itself, kindness, and let the Spirit of God work. Because we want them to come. Luke chapter 14, verse 17. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. We want these people to come. That's the love of God in us. We want them to come, and we want them to see the love of God in us. And so we're bidding them to come. We're praying for souls. We come in, we're praying for our family members who are unsaved. We're praying for neighbors who are unsaved. We're praying for people in this neighborhood who are unsaved. We're praying for coworkers. We're praying for those who at one time were here and saved and were worshiping and serving with us who have left and gone out. We're praying for them. If it be possible for God to draw them back, for them to do their first works again and be saved. So we're bidding them to come and putting up a cage would not say, come. Matthew 11, chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. Another come, and Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what we want them to, we want them to come. We don't want them to look like they are walking through the, you know, the state pen to get here. That's, we want them to come. We'd like for them to come inside and hear the word. But if that's as far as they've gotten so far, we said, Lord, you know how to bring them. Let us be about your business, Lord. Let us show the love, your love. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Amen. Saying, come. We want them to come to show the that they might see the love of God. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. Praise our God. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And the bride is the church. The bride is the church of God. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Praise our God. We want them to come. We want them to come. We understand that there are others who are closing their eyes to the needs of the homeless. I was looking at the news, and they were talking about the governors. Governor of Texas was busing people out of his state. The migrants were coming over the border, busing people to other states. The governor of Arizona, busing people to other states. Governor of Florida, busing people away rather than showing compassion. There was one of them that put him on an airplane. I believe it was the governor of Florida. Put him on an airplane and flew some up to Massachusetts. There's some that put him on a bus and sent them to Washington, D.C. Said, I believe it was right outside of Vice President Harris's home. We can't be like them. We've got to have the love of God in us. They will answer for that they have done. But God has given us more. We need to show the love of God. Praise our God. The Lord doesn't want us to be indifferent to the plight of those who are poor. Like the rich man and Lazarus, where the rich man, he ate sumptuously. And poor Lazarus, he couldn't even get crumbs from the rich man's table. We told the dogs came and licked his wounds. Because God loves the poor. In fact, even for his children, he said, we blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. But God is not pleased when his children neglect the poor. He wants us to show mercy to the poor. And in doing that, we're actually ministering to Jesus personally. Let us turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Verse 35. This is showing the love of God. This is the love of God in us. He's our God. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 25:35. For I was an hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So that we do in showing the love of God in us, that's doing it personally for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we'll be known by those fruits that we bear. Praise our God. Thank the Lord. We know that the poor will always be with us. The Word of God says so. Isaiah 58, chapter 58, verse 6. Amen. It says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke. See, this is the fast that the Lord has. There are people who they're fasting for this thing or that thing or something that they want, but the Lord, the fast that the Lord has chosen is to loose the bands of wickedness, to free souls that are serving Satan, to undo the heavy burdens and let the oppressed go free. That's why Jesus came. And also, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call. See, we don't have to worry. We don't have to think that we're giving too much, doing too much. It says, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. God's going to take care of us. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. See, the Lord's going to take care of us. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations. You see, it's necessary for us to be true to God, to show the love of God, and to show that even to the generations following, to our young people who are coming up, they need to see God's love in us expressed toward them and to others. That's how they will learn. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Praise our God. We've got to make straight paths for our feet. Amen. Praise our God. Shall we turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 42. It says, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, and this is Jesus talking, but I say unto you, see, this is the better way that Jesus brought. What he quoted was what was under the law. That was the Old Testament. Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemies. But 44, Jesus said, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. If the love of, we're going to have the love of God in us and we want to be his children, this is what we must do. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? He said, well, I'm only going to love them if they love me. I'm only going to give them something if there's something in it for me and I can get something back from them. That's not the love of God. He said, if you only love them which love you, what reward have you? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So there are people who say, well, nobody's perfect. That's not what Jesus said. He tells us, be ye perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And by having that perfect love that he's calling for us to have, by his Spirit, we're able to perfect our love. Praise our God. Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy chapter 15. Verse 7. Still talking about giving. Showing the love of God, even to the poor. There be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. And some might say, well, people sleeping out there, they're not saved. They're not. Well, they are part of God's creation. They're part of the brotherhood of mankind. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, and so I said, oh, Lord, help me. The seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother. And thou givest him naught, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. You know, there are people who say, well, these people are sleeping on the ground. The government's got food stamps, and the government's got this program, the government got that program. But there's so much red tape, and there's so much that, and for some, so many of these things, you have to have a computer to apply for these things. Well, if they had a computer, they wouldn't be sleeping on the ground. It doesn't make any sense that the requirements, the burdens that they hang on people, say, well, you just have to do this and this and this, but they don't have the means to do these various things. And that's why in this scripture, it says, we don't say, well, the seventh year, the year of release, because there was the year of release under the law, where every seventh year, if someone was a slave, they would let them go. They would let the ground, they'd let the land lie fallow. They wouldn't plant anything. And if there was someone who was maybe a servant to someone, they might be allowed to go. They let be let go. And the year of the Jubilee, every 50 years they have the year of Jubilee. And same thing. It's like seven sevens plus a year. Seven times seven is 49, plus one more year, 50 years. And they release the slaves and so on. And when they release them, they give them something to go as they left. They give them something to help them, whether it's food or grain or whatever it was. But in this scripture, it says, beware that there not be a thought in thy wicked heart saying the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand. In other words, well, there's something coming up. They'll be able to get something. But if they're hungry today, feed them. Verse 10, thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. Note, thy heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. We're told God loveth a cheerful giver, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. They're not going away. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. Praise our God. Amen. James chapter 2. Praise our God. James chapter 2. Verse 14. What does it profit, my brother, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If you don't, you say you have faith, but is the love of God in you? Where are your works? How do you show that the love of God is in you? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So we've got to, that the love of God in us must be shown, must be manifest. Amen. Praise our God. First John 3, chapter 3, verse 17, talking about the love of God in us. First John 3, 17, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Again, hereby we know. This is how we can know. And if it's hard for us to shut up, if it's hard for us to give to help our brother or to help someone, then the Lord has shown us something, and we need to seek him and say, Lord, help me, Lord, with my love. Help me, Lord, to love as you love. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. When the love of God is in us, then we will do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Praise our God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, the most important part of having the love of God in us is that we have a burden for souls. Having a burden for rescuing souls that are lost in sin, for praying for souls, for sharing the word of God with souls. Psalm 51, verse 12. It says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Praise our God. That's showing the love of God. Lord, give me the joy of your salvation and uphold me, dear God. Lord, that I may draw others to thee. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. We want to pray, Lord, in addition to, Lord, the love, your love in us, Lord, give us the wisdom, dear God, to be able to draw souls. Help us, Lord, to win souls, Lord. Praise our God. Daniel 12:3. Notice we just said, he that winneth souls is wise. Daniel 12:3 says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. When the love of God is in us, we don't want anyone to be lost. It's not his will that any be lost, but that all should come to repentance. And so when the love of God is in us, we want to share that love with others. And we have a burden when there are those that we see opposing themselves, opposing their own soul, opposing their own life by not seeking the Lord. The Lord has so much. Amen. There's a song that Sister Carol sings sometimes. He's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. And if you don't know the Lord and you come to him, he'll do so much for you, you cannot tell it all. You cannot tell it all. You might have to tell part and then rejoice and cry it with joy and then tell some more at another time. And then he'll do some more for you. And then you got to tell that too. He's just, that's his love. Praise our God. Jude 21:23. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Now that means that it's active. We don't get saved and say, okay, well, I'm in the love of God and God in me, and so now I can just sit back and do nothing. No, we have to keep ourselves diligently, keep ourselves in the love of God, in his word, in prayer, in walking with him, in meditating on his word, in talking with other saints, encouraging one another, praising God. We keep ourselves in the love of God, and most of all, by obeying his word. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So see, there's something that we're looking for, something that we're waiting for. There's something that we are longing for when Jesus comes again. But if a soul is not saved, they're not longing for that day, because judgment is also coming that day. And each will receive for the deeds that they've done in this life. So if you don't know the Lord, I beg you, come to know him so that you can look forward to that day. So to keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference. For those who don't know the Lord, you have compassion. Talk with them gently. You know, tell them, teach them about the word of God. That's the love of God in us. Have compassion, making a difference in their life. For some, that may be the people who are out sleeping on the ground and just having conversation with them. Verse 23, and others, this is lets us know, not everyone is to be dealt with the same way. Verse 23 says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. There are some that just to people, some have to be scared. Some have to be so frightened. For some, it may be a near-death experience that they've had. Maybe they were in a car accident and almost died. Or maybe someone was shooting and the gun jammed and they didn't get killed. Or it might be someone who's on drugs and they OD'd, but somehow somebody found them and managed to get them for help just in time. We don't know how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, but we know that for some with compassion, a message of compassion, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, because the fire is going to be there if they don't repent. Pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We have to, in order to be saved, we've got to hate sin. Hate sin so much that we give it up, and love God so much that we believe that he's able to save us from that sin. Praise our God. We just want, if we think about it, we think about the goodness of God and the love of God. Isn't it reasonable to want to have the love of God in you? As we've said, God already had love for us when he gave his son to die. But he wants us to settle it once and for all and surrender to him, surrender our life to him, ask for forgiveness of sins, want to serve him with all of our might, all of our soul, body, mind, and spirit, for all of our life, for the rest of our life. This is not a trial offer. We come to the Lord. Jesus is not a trial. And then if you don't like, then you can cancel later on. Sometimes people will send you something and they say, this is a trial. You get a 30-day trial. And if you don't like it, then you can cancel. Might be, some of the products that they put out. The only problem is when it comes time to cancel, somehow the phone number that you had is not working anymore or nobody's picking up the phone to cancel. That's for man's thing. But Jesus stretched out his arms and died that we might be saved throughout all of eternity. But when we come to him, we have to come to him with a made-up mind, Lord, live or die. I'm going to be yours forever. Praise our God. God wants his love perfected in us. That verse 12 in our reading, the text, 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. But if we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And his love is perfected in us. Amen. My prayer is that we would each perfect the love of God in us. And if you don't know the Lord and the pardon of your sins, please come to know him. Please come to know him. He loves you. He loves you with all of his heart. Just wants you to come to his heart. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. Amen.
Well, we just heard a beautiful message of love, and God is love. Knowing Him is love. I couldn't help but to think the last John 13, a new commandment I give unto you.
Yeah.
And I too have had a different thought on the homeless. They're all over you. I don't care if you ain't been out of the house in a week and you go out, you're going to see them. They're everywhere. And, you know, the refuge that God laid for them in the Old Testament and the blessings that Christ said that the homeless you're going to have always, but me, you will not.
That's right.
Do we have a song? Okay. So I as we sing this song, I have a I may not look like I do, but I have a tender heart for them. I can't help it. You know, everybody has compassion. And if you are a child of God and you that love abideth in you. So anybody that does not know the Lord, we're going to sing a hymn and just think about the word that has went forth. And especially back there when Christ, the judgment comes and he's going to say, depart me, I knew you not. And then you're going to say, when were you a hunger and I didn't feed you? When were you naked and I didn't clothe you? That's what she preached about, and that's yet to come. So it could be our neighbors, family members. Issues of life could cause us next week to be like that. Some people that we don't see here anymore, and I've heard, I haven't never seen them, but I've heard it, seen them out there on the street. Satan is for real. Hell is for real. So when the altar invitation is given, you got anything in your heart, now is the time to consider the word of the Lord. And Jesus is the only one. That unconditional love that God has for us, that's what this is all about. And he prayed for us before he descended back up into heaven, that the Lord would share the same love that he had for him with us. Not to take us out of the world. We got to go through these things. But that God would help us, and he's able, but you got to make that first step. We're going to sing in the Red Hymn 552, A Living Sacrifice. Ask that you would, those who are able to stand. I can say one thing, that those were, and even those on the radio land, if we're still on air, you're going to be accountable for this message that you heard today. You may leave, and but your meditation and the Spirit's going to deal with you throughout this day, the holiday, or whatever you go through in your life. You got to make this move yourself. So that's, we're going to sing A Living Sacrifice.
I love the Christ, the Son of God, who died that I might live. I would my gratitude express, a gift unto him give. My gift is small, it is my all. Accept it, Lord, I pray. Let self be slain, let Jesus reign within my heart always. I fail to find a sacrifice or fitting gift to bring. Her treasures have too little worth to offer to my King. My gift is small, it is my all. Accept it, Lord, I pray. Let self be slain, let Jesus reign within my heart always. No gift, however grand or great, could pay the debt I owe. I bring myself, my life, my all, a living gift each soul. My gift is small, it is my own. Accept it, Lord, I pray. Let self be slain, let Jesus reign within my heart always. My talents all I gladly yield for service, Lord, to Thee. To bear the blessed gospel light that others Christ may see. My gift is small, it is my own. Accept it, Lord, I pray. Let self be slain, let Jesus reign within my heart always.
How many can say that they received the message? How many can say, I need help from the Lord? We all do. How many do not know the Lord in the pardons of their sins? Kids, I'm talking to you all too, Matthew and Haley and London. I don't see any hands raised. Hey, this is the only way that you can get help. Not trying to embarrass anyone, but the Spirit has to have its due time. You hear, you said you heard the record, you said the word, you said amen to it. Your step next. How many would like to have prayer for your walk with the Lord? You see, it's going to be a day when it's going to come back to you. And if you're not right, you're going to be judged by that. She read scriptures about Christ was saying, depart from me, I knew you not. And, excuse me, Jesus said, when I was a naked, you clothed me not. When I was sick, you didn't come and visit me. This is what he's talking about. And depart from me, you workers of iniquity. That was the rest of that scripture. So I will continue to pray because, you know, we talk about God's love, his unconditional love, and he prayed, Jesus did, before he descended back up to heaven. The Lord, he says, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but that while they are in the world, the ones that you have given me, I have kept. I've lost none of them. He is able. God is able to save your soul. He's able to keep you. I'm speaking for myself. Over, I don't know how many years ago, I'm reaching up there to, I don't have many more years left in my life. I know that. But look what he's done for me. And I love him for that, too. So I'm going to pray, you know, that this were a word that was spoken today that would be kept in the hearts of all of us in here. And I don't know if the radio is okay. I just got a nod that the broadcast is still going for all those that heard it on the broadcast. God is omnipotent, omnipresent. He's everywhere. So he's the one that breathed into your life the breath of life, and you became a living soul, gender neutral, small and old. You're not going to get away from that. And when he comes to take that breath back, it's going to be too late. Oh. Let's bow our heads and pray, and that everyone will receive this and seriously take this. Don't take it for granted, because hell is real. You read about those things, breaking news, and you can't turn the TV on. It was just shooting or whatever. That stuff is for real. People committing suicide is for real. You don't have to really be here to give your heart to the Lord. If his spirit is warm inside of you and you're feeling it right now, you go home, Lord, help me. Just tell him, ask him, I need help. He's going to be there for you. Let's bow our heads and for a moment of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we truly thank you and want to really bring those in on the radio land. I didn't know if they were still on the air or not. Those are unspoken prayer requests. Don't know how many raised their hand or even Lord said that, Lord, I need help. You heard them. You're everywhere. And I ask that you allow your spirit, dear Heavenly Father, to run its course, dear God, and I thank you for your great love and patience that you have for us. And Lord, I ask that you remember each and every individual here, dear Heavenly Father. I pray for them, my brothers and sisters, some of mine have labored with, dear God. And it takes time to go through these things, but it's one thing for sure. We all are going to go through some things, and we need you. We cannot make it without you. I thank you again for your son, Jesus, and what he has done on the cross for each and every one of us here, dear God. That great love that he has. And he says that a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. So the homeless and the poor, there are many, and it's going to increase because of our governments and their lust that they have for of the flesh,
of the little common sense that you've given them, it's them overran all of that. They don't have that anymore. They make decisions that, you know, it's almost like they offering you, giving you a gun, the right to bear guns, and then turn around and you shoot somebody. Lord, we need you in this wicked world that we're in today. And I ask that you do remember the homeless and that you would bless the hands that continually minister unto them, both old and young, both far and near, dear God. And remember the hands that were raised and remember the hearts that are not right with thee yet, dear God. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the word that went forth. And again, I ask that you remember all those that the Spirit on the radio land would it ain't over. It's not over until you give up the ghost. Don't let Satan have this victory over you. Christ has never, never lost a victory. Remember that. You want to be on a winning team, and just don't close your eyes to this or your ears. Take it into your heart and consider it, greatly reconsider it. The Lord would help you. And I pray for each and every one here. I ask that you bless this day that you give us, and thank you that I was a part of this, dear God. Thank you again, and I ask that you gather up all these prayer requests that went forth and let thy Spirit lay them down to the foot of thy throne. In Christ's name I do pray. Amen. Okay, you can be seated. I'm going to read the announcements. It says, always pray one for another during this week. I'm sorry, I should have read the asked for the visitors and didn't. Is that the way to say it? Oh, can I just? I do it my way. I'll read them. I'll do it. Okay. Okay. It says announcements. Always pray one for another during this week. For Samuel 12:23, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Our intercessory prayer will be rendered every Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. We are praying for lost souls and the souls of the saints, that God will keep them in his care. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. A November turkey giveaway canister is always open to receive funds. First Wednesday of the month, which is coming this week, bring a scripture or testimony to share. Lord's will, our fall Bible study is scheduled for September. That's this month, a couple of more weeks. September the 25th to the 29th, 2023, 6 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. at the church. The theme is drawing closer to God. Please remember to bring your folder and the packet of material disseminated during our spring Bible study. If you cannot locate your packet, please let us know. Please pray for Brother Lavester Jackson and Brother Maurice Blake, our teachers and facilitators. Yes. Get that right?
Facilitators.
Okay. Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. by phone. Remember to turn your phone off around 5:30 p.m. and turn back on at 6:30 p.m. before service. And please mute your phone. Please pray for Brother Byron Johnson and all bringing scriptures. Our happy anniversary blessings this week, Mr. and Sister Joby McElroy, September the 6th. That's Tuesday, right? This coming Tuesday. Thought for today, faith. Believe what God says and leave the how to God.
Amen.
You take that to heart and read that again. Thought for today, faith. Believeth what God says and leave the how to God. And then we have our sick and shed in. Always pray for them. And our meditation, thank be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for this day. And give our visitors or anybody with a testimony a chance to express themselves. Feel free. Sister Webb, go ahead.